Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at eBibleFellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Romans. Tonight is study number 31 of Romans chapter 1, and we're beginning to read in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, in our last study, we were looking at the first part of verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we were talking about shame and how shame comes with sin. And that's how shame entered into the world, when sin entered into the world, and mankind ought to be ashamed of their sin before God. We looked at Psalm 25 that said, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, but let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And that's really a sound statement. It makes perfect sense. Why should an elect child of God be ashamed of the gospel? And by the way, as I mentioned, gospel is a synonym for the word of God. We see this, for example, in Mark 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Do you see the contrast that God is making in this verse in Mark 8:38, and actually in what we're reading, wherever we read, in like in Psalm 25? Whosoever will be ashamed of me, Jesus is saying, and of my words. And you can't separate the two. You can't say, well, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but I am ashamed of this doctrine. No, you can't separate them, because the doctrine, if it's a right doctrine, comes from his words, the Bible. And to be ashamed of his words or his doctrine is to be ashamed of him. But notice the stark contrast between Christ saying, whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. You see what the point he's making? In this adulterous and sinful generation, we find rebellious creatures, fallen man, who have done every abominable, filthy, disgusting, unholy, ugly act of sin imaginable, and sometimes even beyond imagination. Have they felt ashamed? And oftentimes, no, they're proud of their sin, they're proud of the things they've done. And yet, on the other hand, we perhaps on occasion have felt ashamed of Jesus Christ, or felt ashamed of his words, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Good Lord and God, Jesus Christ, and his word is all of these things too. This pure and holy Jesus, and we would feel ashamed of association with him and his doctrine, perhaps, at times. And you see, that's the amazing thing. That's the incredible contrast that God is making. here is filthy sin, and man proudly oftentimes has no problem associating with that. And on the other hand, pure, holy, good Jesus Christ, pure, holy, good Word of God, absolute perfection. And there is a tendency towards shame, towards being identified with this Lord, this God, this Bible. And that's why, you know, God is having the Apostle Paul make this statement. And this applies to all of the elect because he's a pattern of the believer. And God will work this out within his people, perhaps over time, maybe initially. At first, when someone becomes saved, they have the mindset of the world, of course, because they've been in the world. And so they kind of draw back, and they understand that, you know, the world looks down upon the Word of God, the Bible, and those who would adhere to it. And so it causes them to feel this feeling of shame when identifying with it and the things it says. And yet over time, you know, we learn the truth. We learn what is in man. We learn what is in the world. We see the world and mankind for exactly what they are. And we see God more and more, clearer and clearer. And we see what he has done for us, the love that he has had upon us and in taking our sins upon himself and dying for them. And so the shame begins to leave, and there comes a boldness that God gives his people in the eyes of the world. If we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we read in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And then a little further down in verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegas and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." And there we see a couple of references back in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." That's the gospel. And what is the testimony? The Bible. That's the testimony of our Lord. And also in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Let the world do what it will do. It really has no room to speak. Did you ever hear that phrase, "consider the source," or that expression when someone's saying something bad about you or something negative about you, and you look at the person and you think, now, boy, they got a nerve, don't they, saying this or whatever they're saying. When you take into account the things they say and they do and the way they behave, well, just think of the world when we consider the source. And God, of course, in the day of judgment, is exposing the world, making it all the more visible, the true condition of mankind. The ugly heart of sin has come to the surface, and it's in full view for everyone to see. That here's the people of the world who would roll their eyes and try to make the elect child of God feel as though they're crazy, that they have a screw loose, there's something wrong with them because they believe the Bible. Now, does that wash anymore? There's another expression. Does anyone give any credence to that kind of attack by people of the world any longer? No, not when we consider the source. Are you kidding? You're someone who is a secular person, or someone who is a part of this world. You're part of this insanity that we see in every nation all around us on a daily basis. This is your world. This is what your philosophy, your understanding of science, your beliefs have built, and this is the world that you support. It has nothing to do with God, by the way. No, this is all of you. This comes from the mind of man, the imaginations of man, the things that the world is thinking and saying concerning gender neutrality, and gender's a fluid issue. You can be a man one day and a woman the next and back to a man, or not knowing which bathroom to go. No, the world owns these things. These are your doctrines, your teachings, and all the other things that are going on as well. And so a world that doesn't know the most basic things of morality or of life, they don't know these things that are just part of the natural world, natural existence. And they're going to act as though they are the custodians of sanity, that they're the ones who possess wisdom and knowledge and intelligence, and they will be the judges of what is sane behavior and insane behavior, and what is something that is crazy. And no way. We don't, of course, God's people always would realize the world had this in them, but now it's open. It's wide open for everyone to see, and we can dismiss it with a wave of our hand. I know when people try to do this, sometimes atheists have responded to things that I've written on Facebook or on YouTube or on Twitter, and they try to make out as though they have the sound position. It's utter foolishness. They have no soundness of position whatsoever. God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in Ecclesiastes 9, the Lord gives his assessment of the mental condition of the people of the world, where he writes in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. What a very accurate summary of a man's life, a person's life in this world. It's utter madness. It's insanity to live as they do, to put off the whole idea and question of death, to put off relationship with God, and to live for the moment, to eat, drink, and be merry, to seek the pleasures of sin from morning till night. And then one night, God says, thou fool, this night thy soul's required of thee, and they're gone. They're gone. It's all gone. There's no reason. There's no sound logic. There's no sense to living like that, and to putting off the reality of the true serious condition that we're in as sinners, and that we have a holy God who was angry with us, but mankind did that. And so it's made this world that we see. You know, what shame can, honestly, the people of the world heap upon an elect child of God who have been made sound in their mind when we became saved, and we've been put in our right mind, and we have sober thinking as long as we're thinking in accord to the faithful things that the Bible says. Yeah, they can roll their eyes, they can say we're crazy, and they can act as if these things are the case, but it's not true at all. The only thing that the world has going for them is numbers. They have the majority of people who think alike. However, they think alike in a wrong way. They have alike madness. They are all going away from God, and they are thinking in ways that are displeasing to Him, and it'll work out the same for all of them. There's evil in their hearts, and all the time they live in madness, and then they go to the dead. Well, there's one more thing I want to look at before we move on from this topic to discussing something else, and that's in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, it says, starting in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he," speaking of Jesus, "is not ashamed to call them brethren." He is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that's referring to all those that God has saved, all those predestinated unto salvation, the chosen ones, God's elect people. Jesus is not ashamed to call us, if we're saved, he's not ashamed to call us his brethren, to identify with us, to associate with us, and to make it publicly known that he is for us. He is not ashamed of us. And this is the response in return of the elect child of God, as the Apostle Paul is expressing. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And, you know, if anyone should be ashamed, it would be the Lord Jesus of us, because we're shameful beings in our sin. We've brought shame to God. We've brought disgrace to Him. We've done many things that ought to make us feel ashamed before God. And yet He's never done any wrong or any sin of any kind. And are we to be ashamed of Him? No, we're not to be ashamed of Him. We're not to be ashamed of His Word, the Bible. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, starting in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Christ endured the cross, though despising the shame. He was made a public spectacle of when he was hanging on the cross, and how would they crucify people? How did the Romans crucify? When they had no clothes, they were naked. Jesus was made naked, exposed on the cross. And why was that? Well, remember what we were talking about in the last study, that as soon as mankind sinned, he noticed his nakedness. Nakedness in the Bible identifies with our sins being open unto the eyes of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, himself sinless, but when he went to the cross in 33 AD, he was demonstrating what he had done at the foundation of the world, and therefore he was naked. And the picture was that the sins that he bore, and again, we have to remember this and constantly point it out, the bearing of sin took place at the foundation of the world, but he was demonstrating this. The sins that he bore at that point in eternity past were laid upon him. They were our sins. And because of that, he was made to be ashamed. He despised the shame of the cross. It was just a terrible thing that he was experiencing shame. And he was experiencing that shame for his people, for those who had done things worthy of shame and who had sinned against God. And in those sins, there was great shame, and Christ bore our sin, and therefore he was made to be ashamed on our behalf. And now, for a little while, a little period of time, we have the world in front of us, and we have the Word of God also with us, and so God would have us to take up our cross. He would have us to bear some shame in the eyes of the world. Not in his eyes, no, but in the eyes of the world. Remember, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So we're not to be ashamed before God. The world will seek to make us ashamed because we believe this word and the things it says concerning creation, concerning marriage, concerning whatever it says. And they would call us all kinds of names for believing these things. And aren't you ashamed? Won't you feel ashamed because you hold to these things, because you believe the church age is over, or it's judgment day, or whatever thing the Bible speaks of? Won't you feel shame for setting a date? Won't you feel shame for this and for that? And no, I will not. No, I will not. You can heap shame upon me, and I might be very low in your eyes, but that's okay. That's okay, because I have a very low opinion of you as a fallen creature and of mankind. Actually, I have the Bible's opinion, the truthful opinion of what's in you and what's in the world, and I don't particularly care what you think. I don't particularly care what your judgment is. As a matter of fact, I find your judgment to be a very little thing and not something that concerns me whatsoever by God's grace, by His grace. And therefore, if the Lord will allow me, if the Lord will work in me to will and to do so, I would again hope that He would give me the privilege to lift up that cross, to carry the cross before the world, and to experience shame for His name as He has done for me. And of course, it's nothing in comparison to what He has done, but I hope that God might grant me that kind of a blessing.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.